Memphis, the Fan.
Good evening, I'm Isaiah Jacob. This afternoon, John Mobley Jr. led Ohio State to an 89-63 victory over Grambling State. Mobley finished the game with 20 points, including 5 3-pointers. The Buckeyes now get into the heart of Big Ten play as they face off against Rutgers next Friday. In Cleveland, Browns running back Quinshon Judkins had surgery to repair his fractured fibula and dislocated ankle. The Browns announced that the surgery went well and that Judkins will be able to resume football activities at some point in the next 4 to 6 months. In other Browns injury news, the deadline to activate Deshaun Watson from the physically unable to perform list was today. Coach Kevin Stefanski announced he will not be activated, thus meaning Watson will not play in the 2025 season. In the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers are on the second half of a back-to-back tonight against the Pelicans at 7:30. Darius Garland is currently listed as a game-time decision. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
So let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh, Brad Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah.
This is the Buckeye Show.
And a very happy holidays to everybody out there. Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana, we got you for the Buckeye Show. And just, you know, Murph, for Tito, who I don't know why he just couldn't do this math on the spot. 0.47 inches is 1.1 centimeters. I didn't Google that. You don't need to worry about it. I did it in my head. they were talking about all those weird world records. Did you ever watch that show that they used to have as Guinness Book of World Records prime time, and they'd have those people come out and try to break world records?
Yeah.
I remember the eye-popping people.
Okay.
And they come. It was the weirdest thing ever. And they asked the one person, they go, how'd you figure out that you could pop your eyeballs out of your socket? And she goes, I sneezed.
Oh,
can you imagine sneezing one time and your eye just coming out of the socket and going, hey, I can pop my eye out of the socket. Yeah, you better get on Guinness Book of World Records prime time. The other one was how many earthworms this guy could eat in like a minute or whatever.
Do you remember what he got to?
No, I'd have to Google it. And it was like, dude, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been fishing before, but like these were like night crawlers. These were not like little tiny worms. They were massive. And he had a bowl. And I think there was something about he couldn't use his hands. Because all those ones are like, yeah, you want to break the record for the most pies eaten or whatever. You can't use your hands. In all that, but I don't know. I'd ask you what world record you could potentially break. I have nothing. I don't have any skills.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a pretty fast typer, but I'm like world record typing. I just do it a lot. I'd have to give that some thought. Probably would end up with nothing because, I'm here. I go about my day. I don't think I do anything that well that I
you can host the Buckeye Show excellently.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
You're top of the list. One of the tops of the list.
Yeah, one of the few.
For me doing this. So happy to have everybody along tonight as we get ready to go. Holiday week. Really, a lot to get to with Murph over the next couple of hours. Really, with the holiday season, what are the Buckeyes going to be doing over the next week plus? So we'll get to that coming up. And we have a lot to recap over the media availability. NFL Pro Bowl rosters are out. A couple of Buckeyes are on that. And really, Murph, there's a lot of discussion about some Buckeyes that missed the Pro Bowl rosters that might have should have made it. And we'll take a look around college football as well with some of the big news that Notre Dame is ending their USC annual game moving forward. I got a little hot take when it comes to that. So we'll get to that in about an hour. But Murph, you've been listening to both teams over the last couple of days with the media availability. You know, we'll hear from Matt Patricia coming up and Kenyatta Jackson. But I was so excited to be able to talk to you about it tonight. What were the vibes? And I know it sometimes is hard in the media settings and, you know, guys are trying to portray the cool and the calm and things like that, you know, virtual with Miami, obviously. But just were there any big takeaways on your feelings surrounding the teams yesterday over media day, yesterday and today, I should say?
Well, I think on the Ohio State side, first of all, so for people who don't know, typically when we talk with players on Wednesday evenings throughout the season, we do it kind of out on the field. They bring out tables on the indoor field. And this was in the team meeting room where we normally talk with Ryan Day. And so it was everybody was in there for each guy one at a time, which on some level means you don't get to ask as much, but also you get to hear everything, which is a bit of a problem on those Wednesday nights. But it was nice to be able to do that. I think this is a team that is confident in themselves coming off of, you know, that 12-1 season, but that one sits with them. And, you know, a couple guys were asked, like, has it been hard not playing a game since, you know, losing that Big Ten championship game? And the answer was an emphatic yes by guys. So I think that's been sitting there. I think it's been a driving force for them. And you know, I think they're happy to now know the opponent. Julian Sain talked about watching film on both teams, which I assume a lot of guys have done. But now you can zero in on Miami. And then on the Miami side, you know, getting on those Zooms, it was not a lot of Ohio State talk. There was mostly focused on Miami from national people that hadn't talked to those guys this year, and sort of reflecting still on that Texas A&M game. Isaiah and I were talking beforehand, just like, I guess Miami hasn't had a game like that since 2002, right? When Ohio State beat Miami in the BCS national championship game, they weren't in another one after that. They weren't in the playoff 4-team or 12-team. So this was a big deal, and I guess I should have expected a lot of talk about that. But I think when they were asked about Ohio State guys or Ohio State positions, it was, you know, pretty respectful, as you might expect from Miami. And I think the Hurricanes are confident. I think they think we just went into Texas A&M, one of the hardest places to play, and knocked off a team that was number 3 in the country for most of the year. And so they feel like they have an opportunity to do the same against the Buckeyes. Not saying that they will, and I think that's a step up in competition. But I do think you've got two teams coming in, you know, motivated, hungry, that type of thing, which is exactly what I think you want for a quarterfinal game.
You know, it's funny that you say respectful, because just following along, mostly on your Twitter, which I appreciate very much, of the quotes and just kind of seeing as things was coming out, you know, Messidor, and then I think it was Brockermeyer, the center, and they were just really complimentary, mm-hmm. you know, respectful of, again, the defensive line, or on the other side with Messidor talking about the offensive line that he's going up against, which I get, you know, I didn't think anybody's going to come out and light a fire there or try to get bulletin board material or things like that, but I that was exactly what I thought, too. It seemed very respectful for the Miami side of things. And I understand that the Hurricanes and Mario Cristobal are going to sit there and say, we can go with these guys and we're toe-to-toe. But, I mean, I would say, Murph, that anybody who's unbiased in this or trying to shoot down the middle, Ohio State's got the talent on their side. Is it a wide gap? No, I'll give the respect to the Hurricanes on that. Is it maybe a closer gap than Ohio State's had in quite some games, other than Indiana? Maybe, but, you know, you sit there and you realize, you try to pick apart, and we've got plenty of time until next Wednesday to do it, but to try to understand where Miami's going to win this game or where their opportunities come, and just kind of hearing the Miami players talk about it, I got the sense they were being respectful, but I could just even feel that they know they have a really, really hard test against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, look, this is the team that was number one pretty much all season. In the one game they lose, it's a close game, and they have multiple chances to win it even in the fourth quarter, right? So, you know, we know how good this team is. And I think if you're Miami, you've probably seen Ohio State throughout the season just watching games. And look, this Miami team, I think when everybody on that roster, because it is a talented roster, plays their best, they are a really good football team. The problem is they have not gotten that very often. And even I would say in the first round, and I know, you know, the wind played a big factor and whatnot, but that was not a team that I look at and say, if you play like that, if that is your best, and I don't even know if it was, that's a team that's going to go on and upset some teams and really make some noise here. You know, they had some issues, let's be honest here, and this isn't taking anything away from them. I think it just, that's kind of how their season has gone. You know, they've had some good wins, but, you know, you lose to Louisville on a Friday night, you go to overtime and lose to SMU. Like, those, it's not like you're lost to Indiana and you know, another top team, right? These are teams that everyone expected Miami to beat. So the ceiling is high, but I think there's also a sort of unpredictably low floor depending on which team shows up here. And I expect them to be confident. Look, you're in the playoff, right? So you should be confident. I think even JMU and Tulane should have been confident. But it just, you know, once you get out on the field, sometimes that confidence disappears quickly. And we'll see what happens next week.
Was there anything from the Miami side? Like, I know it can be coaches speak a lot of, they focus on penalties or, you know, time of possession or clean this up. Like, was there anything that really kind of came out from the Miami players as something that seemed to be the real focus for Mario Cristobal for his squad?
I don't know specifically about that. I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned penalties. That did come up a decent amount on the coaching side, only because they went to A&M and had no pre-snap penalties in that atmosphere, which in and of itself is impressive. I think they had to call one timeout and maybe had a false start or a holding penalty. It was very few, whatever it was. And that came up a couple times with their head coach and coordinators. So, you know, I think that was something that early in the season kind of bit them in some of those games, at least in the early ones I've watched. So cleaning that up is going to be important for them. You know, Ohio State hasn't been a heavily penalized team either. So I would expect that this is a game where both teams keep it clean. But, you know, I speaking of coaches, I thought they did a good job of, you know, presenting knowledge on Ohio State when they were asked about them. You know, Miami's defensive coordinator, Corey, I think it's Heatherspoon.
Sounded good to me.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up here just to double check. He coached at Rutgers, so he's seen this Buckeye team before. Not this exact one, but he was the linebacker. Corey Heatherman, sorry. I thought he, you know, gave some good answers and obviously has some knowledge of Ryan Day. He obviously worked with Greg Schiano, who worked with
Schiano. A little, you know, absorption there, if you will, through Schiano.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a little bit of familiarity there, which I think, you know, you could spin into a story if you wanted to, but obviously this team's changed, you know, since he was there a couple years ago. So I don't know how much you play into that, but you're going to take any advantage you can. I mean, guys that know Jeremiah Smith or Brandon Innes or any of the other Kenyatta Jackson, the guys that played with them down in South Florida. Like, I think if you're Miami, you're talking to those guys. Hey, what works against Jeremiah? I know it's probably few and far between, but what advantages can we get? If you're an offensive lineman, you're probably talking to guys about Kenyatta Jackson and how we can slow him down. Just any advantage you can get at this point, because it's the same on the Ohio State side, right? They're going to be asking about guys too. And at this point, you'll take anything you can get.
Coming up, we have a kind of a situation we're keeping the eye on with the new right guard for Ohio State, because we know Tegra Tshabola is unfortunately going to be out for a couple of weeks. Van Sickle, Padilla, what's the take? What is Murph hearing about that right guard situation against a Miami front that you got to be on your P's and Q's on the offensive line? We'll get to all of it coming up, just starting things off. It's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan. Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story. But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app. TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere. The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination. The ON.
Scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium Tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. Plenty of clouds around, a little breezy and dry and mild on this Tuesday. Temperatures running in the low to mid-50s, down to the low 30s by Wednesday morning. And during the day, after a little patchy fog, we'll see mainly cloudy skies, a little cooler but dry. Temperatures back in the low to mid-40s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Toyota Thon is on. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get $3,000 customer cash on remaining new 25 Tundras. Or get 0.99 APR financing plus $1,000 TFS APR cash. With approved credit through TFS, excludes TRD Pro. APR cash must be applied to deal. And every new Toyota comes with 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Some changes coming for the Buckeyes on the offensive line. We know Tegra Shibola going to be out. Who's going to get the start? Who's going to play the most? We'll talk about it. It's the Buckeye Show. He's Pat Murphy. I'm Matt Fontana. I don't know if people celebrate or not, Murph, but it is Festivus today. I'm not a big Seinfeld fan, but I know like that is one of probably 5 episodes that I've actually watched like from start to finish.
Same.
So I know very much about it and celebrating. So if you're out there, get the pole out of the crawl space and feats of strength and sit back and watch you. Me personally, though, I had to run around and do a bunch of shopping today. And I walk in and I had the quart of eggnog. And my wife looks at me. She goes, I hate you. And I was like, you don't have to drink. I'm going to drink it. So I have a thing of eggnog. The bourbon's sitting over there. That's for after the show. And be done and sit down. We'll watch Festivus and Home Alone. It'll be a great evening.
There you go. I am also a big eggnog guy. Also,
thank you.
Yes, I love it. And Common Man here came out one night while we were waiting in the studio, and he asked, this is probably a couple weeks ago, asked, you like eggnog? I was like, yeah. So he pours me this glass out of this glass bottle. He's like, try this. This is the best eggnog ever. And honestly, it was the best eggnog I'd ever had. Now it's
dairy.
What'd you say?
Was it Hartzler dairy?
I don't remember. I don't remember what the brand was. He did tell me where to find it, and it was like crazy expensive. So I didn't get it. But what I did do then was consistently buy eggnog until I ran out the other day. So I need to re-up before we get to Christmas. Probably should have done that today while I was out and about, actually, now that you bring it up. But I've had eggnog pretty consistently for the last 2 weeks, thanks to that.
See, like, it's one of those things. I used to get in a debate with an old co-host of mine. This was specific about stuffing at Thanksgiving, because he would go, it's overrated. And I go, you wash your mouth out. And he goes, if it was so good, you would eat it year round. And I go, no. It's more, it's better because you only have it,
right,
you know, Thanksgiving and around Christmas. And the same thing I think with eggnog. Now, eggnog's not readily available in like the middle of the summer. I think we all would be drinking it, but you're right. It's around the holiday season. I feel like I've been laxing because I will have my first glass tonight. Now, when I get to my family's house tomorrow, it's like a tradition. I don't have to worry about it. My uncle lets like, you know, their death taxes and Uncle Jerry bringing the eggnog. Like, you know it's happening. So I'm covered for tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. So we'll get to that coming up. All right, big change for the Buckeyes is going to be coming at right guard. As we know, a change, Tegra Shibola is going to be injured, so he will be out. What are the Buckeyes going to do? Let's hear from Ryan Day, his media availability, the plans for the Buckeyes at right guard.
Yeah, well, it starts in practice, and you know, gaining trust with with your coaches and with your teammates, and he's done that, and has shown in games what he can do, and so he and Josh will continue to roll right now, but we feel confident with both those guys in the game. They've shown some really good things, and Gabe did a good job. We went in there, in some of these recent games, so that's been good for us, in terms of the depth. But that position is going to be important, as we go into these playoffs, where Tegra had been in there most of the season. So that this week of practice will be very important for those guys.
So that was Ryan Day. He was talking about Gabe Van Sickle there to start, and then mentioned Josh Padilla. And Murph, I just think it's you know, you don't want injury to happen, but both of these guys have had to play. Padilla played earlier in the year when he had to rotate. Then, unfortunately, he got hurt against Penn State. And then it was Van Sickle got in there for the Big Ten championship game. So just your thoughts, like, I would assume Gabe Van Sickle gets the starting nod there. Do you think it's, let's start him, let's see how it goes, Josh could come in, or do you think no matter what, they want to see a rotation of those two?
I think it's interesting because Ryan Day wasn't exactly clear whether he meant they're going to roll in practice or they're going to roll in the game, which we've seen. And you know, obviously Ohio State had success with that last year, rolling their guards. I would lean probably more to Gabe Van Sickle starting playing more, I guess. And I think both of them still have plenty to prove. I think both have shown positivity this season. But Gabe Van Sickle's 6'5", 316. Josh Padilla is, pulling it up here, 6'4", 300. So you got an inch and 16 pounds, if you believe the measurements on Ohio State's official roster. And going against Miami's defensive line, especially that interior, those are some big dudes. Van Sickle's pretty athletic. And so I would think, just from a pure, like, looking at them standpoint, like, to me, it makes more sense to play him. We also don't know how healthy Josh Padilla is. Now, he's obviously had this time to continue to recover, but he was off the injury report, but still wasn't rotating into the games when Tegra came out. It remained Van Sickle the last few games of the year. So, you know, is Padilla back up to speed? And really, how much do you trust either of these guys? You're going to obviously have to go with one of them, at least, to make, you know, their first start, first really big game time in a college football playoff game against what is a good Miami defensive line. So I think that is going to be something to watch. I don't think if you're a Buckeye fan, you should be overly nervous because you've had inconsistent play at that position throughout the year and managed to get where you are. And obviously Tegra played all last season at that spot. But I do think it will be something to keep an eye on, especially early against Miami. Who's in there? How are they doing?
You talk about that D-line real quick. Moten's 325, and then Blay is 303, yeah. The two starting D-tackles for Miami. So you're really going to have your hands full with that. And that's great for you to bring up, talking about how that size might be a part of it. I know it's already the two, and I guess I look at it and I say, I'm not telling Ryan Day how to do his job or anything, but it's like you look at it, and I would just lean Van Sickle too, and I would say, it just kind of like, I feel like the rotation, Murph, might throw things off, right? Like, it's hard when you get a guy in there, try to get him up to speed, where I understand they might not have that decision made, but I wonder if it's better just like to come out and say, yep, we're going to roll with Gabe, and he's going to get every rep of every minute of practice to try to get this up to speed. And I feel a little bit better, mostly with like Hinsman at center, to say, you know, you got a really good player next to you. And you say the same thing with Daniels at the right tackle spot too. But like you said, I don't think there's too much concern that I have about it. Is there any chance that they could shuffle it any other way and move somebody else, like a tackle, or move Hinsman to guard and bring somebody else in? Or do you just think between you know, Padilla and Van Sickle, they've got that covered?
I think it'll be between Van Sickle and Padilla. You know, after last year, I'm not ruling anything out when they're rotating three guards. And I'm with you. I think if you have your guys, you would obviously much prefer to just play to the you know, the, you're starting five unless something happens, especially on the offensive line. And I mean, you can't argue with the results of a year ago, right? They went on to win a national championship, and the offensive line was a big reason why. So they are smarter people than me making these decisions over there at the Woody. But like, I always hear about the continuity of an offensive line and things like that. And obviously, you know, they've got 3.5 weeks to get these guys up to speed. But I agree. If you can, I think you'd prefer to go with one guy as much as possible. And then if it's not working with that guy, okay, now you can rotate, you know, say they start Van Sickle and he's just having some issues because he's a second year player, who hasn't played against the defensive line much like that. Then maybe you give Padilla a rep or two or a drive or two. I just, you know, you don't want to end up in a position where you put yourself behind the eight ball because of that. So that's why these 3 weeks are so important.
It is. And talk about the future, too, with a guy like Gabe Van Sickle, like you mentioned, only second-year guy. He is a redshirt freshman. Like, it's exciting. I'm not trying to, you know, wish this season away, but the excitement around some of the talented guys up there on the offensive line. And I do think about the running game, which is going to be super important. Listen, it's easy with Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith and Brandon Innes to throw the ball, Carnell Tate and crew, but I really expect Ohio State to be able to run the football in this game too, and that's something that'll be a lot with those guards just kind of being those road graders getting up there, and kind of the same thing to lean a little bit more towards Van Sickle, because I felt like that was the thing. Like, you didn't want to see Tegger get hurt, but when Van Sickle was in there, I felt like Bo Jackson was just picking up a few extra yards than he was prior to that.
Yeah, and I think if it is, really if it's either of these guys, you've got to scheme things up a little bit differently than maybe you would with Tegra, who obviously has the experience, is a bit even bigger body than either of them. I think if you go back and look at the Big Ten Championship game when they took Tegra out and put Van Sickle in, they went, and this was somewhat, I imagine, by nature of, hey, we need to move the ball a little bit. We're playing a little catch up here, but they went with a quicker passing game. They got the ball out quicker out of Julian's hands. And for the entire season, when they needed runs, they've run to the left, either behind Luke Montgomery or Austin Sereveld. So I think if you sort of scheme it a little bit so that the pass protection doesn't become these long plays. Now, sometimes you're going to want to take shots, right? You got these two receivers that can, and Julian obviously throws a great deep ball. So that's going to be key. But I do think you can find ways to be successful and maybe build some confidence in these guys early, whichever one's out there to start, by doing some plays that you know, either get the ball out quick so they don't have to block as long, or maybe some things that you know they're good at just to get them feeling good about how things are going.
So the other side of the ball will go coming up, because we're going to hear from Matt Patricia, a guy that's been a part of Super Bowl teams, been a head coach in the NFL, now Ohio State's defensive coordinator. And he spoke about that relationship that he has with Ryan Day and even the change that we have. Ryan Day going to be calling plays now. That certainly has an impact on the whole team. But we'll hear from Matt Patricia, because I just think a huge part of the reason where Ohio State is today is the hiring of Matt Patricia and the defense that he's put together. So we'll hear from him coming up just 2 minutes away right here on the
Your holiday table. The family cooking together, the scent of golden brown bread, rosemary from roasted potatoes, and a salad so crisp it snaps. Spiced cider in every glass. Laughter around every plate. At Kroger, we know these moments matter, and we make it easier to bring them to life with quality that's affordable in every aisle. This season, don't just host. Make every moment unforgettable. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
A Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time for your daily dose of vitamin B. B stands for Buckeyes, just in case that wasn't clear. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
What a hire, Ohio State, getting Matt Patricia to come in and be the defensive coordinator. All the talent in the world, but you got to have the right coach, you got to have the right scheme, and that has certainly happened for the Buckeyes this year. He's Pat Murphy, I'm Matt Fontan. We got you for the Buckeye Show tonight, taking you up till 8 o'clock right here on The Fan. And not to like recap kind of how Patricia got here, things like that, Murph, and you know, we all know where Jim Knowles is now and how that all kind of went, but you know, bringing in a guy like Matt Patricia, I love that hire from the jump. Because this is a guy that is obviously super smart, wasn't he? Like a rocket scientist, like a NASA scientist, yeah, or something like that. Loves the game of football. He's done on the pro side of things, been a head coach on the pro side of things. And just to bring that to the NFL, or excuse me, to, you know, college football, the NFL side of it, because I'm never one that thinks these games will ever be completely the same. Talking about college and the pros, there's just too much difference. But when you have some programs like Ohio State that sends so many guys to the NFL, the more you can just kind of, you know, I'm going to say blur those lines, but just the more crossover that you can get, I think helps you with recruiting, with using guys in the proper schemes. But I also think there's just an element to be given to Matt Patricia of saying he had to kind of change some of what he was doing and kind of how he viewed things to fit his scheme and his game to the college side of things. And, you know, sitting with where Ohio State is, getting ready to go, good run of national championship. Like, I look at this defense and say they've shown up for pretty much every game that they've needed to this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a defense that is on historic levels in terms of points allowed per game and kind of the modern era of college football. I think it's 8.6 or 8.9 or something like that, which is just absurd if you think about it. Even in the Big Ten, where you do play some offenses that aren't the best, you know, backups come into the game and you give up some points and whatnot. But we've heard from these guys all year about how, you know, they're disappointed to give up anything. I mean, you know, they could have felt coming out of that Big Ten championship game like, hey, look, we did our job. You know, we held Indiana to 13 points. The offense should be able to outscore that. They did it. They were disappointed to give up even 13 points. And, you know, that's a mentality they've had. That's not necessarily a Matt Patricia thing. But I think the confidence has come with what Matt Patricia has brought to this group and how he has kind of installed this pro-style defense that does some things that you don't see a ton of college teams doing, but has made it simple enough that they can, you know, learn it. You know, you've seen guys have to step in at points. You think about when Lorenzo Styles was out, right? You moved Jermaine Matthews Jr. to the nickel spot, and you bring in a freshman in Devin Sanchez. He's able to step in and play, and I know he had some bumps in the road as a guy doing this for the first time, but, you know, you're trusting a true freshman to go out there, and I'd say for the most part he executes. And there's other examples as well, but, you know, to be able to bring this sort of down a level and still have the success that Matt Patricia was known for. And let's not forget, like, this wasn't a hire that was immediately considered a home run, right? He sort of had his name dragged through the mud because of how things went in Detroit and even a little bit with what he was doing in Philadelphia and some of the defensive stuff there and people questioning, you know, is he really this defensive guru or was that Bill Belichick? And look, I think if you look back at this season and reflect on Bill Belichick versus Matt Patricia, one guy came out smelling a lot better than the other.
Somebody won that one for sure. Yeah. He and Tom Brady laughing right. A lot on their wins. And also, Murph, like, to go back, there were people like, oh, he's just using the stopgap. Like, he'll be back in the NFL. Yeah, and I don't know what the future holds, but it seems like he's really happy here, and it seems like he really enjoys kind of what he's getting together. And I think one thing to bring in from the NFL was sometimes this long, long, long season. Obviously, the NFL's still well into their regular season, a couple of games to go. But he's a part of a lot of Patriots staffs that went deep into the playoffs, and they don't quite have the gap of time that they do in college, but they have the long schedule that they don't have in college. So I wanted to hear from Matt Patricia, because he spoke just about kind of the length of the season, how he and Ryan Day are kind of working together on just combating that with guys having to play so long. Here's Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trusting in, you know, this is a learning for me. You know, 21 days, that's a long time. You know, we had bye week kind of moments in the NFL, but this is a really long layover and break. So certainly trusting, you know, all the expertise here, Coach Day and Coach Mick, and making sure that I'm just listening and trying to learn exactly what the best thing is to get us ready to go with this break and this layover. But it's been fun. I mean, I'll say this. I think the intensity is right where we need it to be. You know, I think the guys understand that on the field. They want to stay focused. It is unusual, you know, you kind of like build up through the course of the week and like, okay, hey, let's get ready to go. And then, we got to wait one more week and do all that stuff. But I think everyone's doing a great job of handling that. But I'm right now really trying to trust the expertise in the building.
That's Matt Patricia talking about learning kind of on the job for this layoff. And he mentioned there, Murph, just they have the bye weeks in the NFL, but usually they're kind of go, go, go. And to him, I think that's beneficial even to say he's working along his players on how we can best address this because they're doing it together. But he mentioned that intensity. That's it. You know, as long as the guys are focused, they're ready to go. I know they're probably chomping at the bit to go out there and play, but you hear a lot about keeping it up in practice, making sure you're getting good reps, good looks, you know, in practice, you're working out there at practice, and just sounding there from Patricia, they're able to do that so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody is figuring out still how to deal with this. I mean, you look at last year, all the teams that had the first round buys lost, right? And now some of that is, some of those teams didn't deserve the first round buys, but you look at Oregon, the number one team in the country, and obviously Ohio State came in with you know a lot going on, a lot of motivation, the revenge factor, all that. But You know, could you say that Oregon's time off and the Buckeyes having played a meaningful game in between the end of the season and that playoff game played a part in that game? I think so. Like, I think it's hard in practice as much as you want to simulate what it's like to be playing in a playoff game to get that same kind of intensity. And look, you can go good on good, but you also don't want to get banged up, right?
Right.
And stuff like that. So just this layoff is hard. And look, this is nothing new. I mean, you go back to the BCS era, and we talked about this when Ohio State played Florida in 2006. And, you know, Ohio State, because there was no conference championship game in the Big Ten, had I think it was even over a month maybe of, layoff there. So coaches have had to deal with this. Maybe that's not the best example because the Buckeyes didn't win that game, but it, you know, teams have had to deal with this before. I think you just do the best you can at this point. I do think, you know, there's a bigger conversation to be had about whether or not they should have these long layoffs, but we can save that for a different day. But I think that, you know, they're handling it as well as can be expected over there. And I think Matt Patricia, just knowing how intense postseason football is, and not that these guys need reminded, a lot of them were around last year, but I think that will be helpful. He knows how to navigate these things. He's done it a lot. I know Ryan Day and a lot of this staff did it last year, but Patricia's been through it over and over again. He's been through it as the defending national champion, or the defending Super Bowl champion, excuse me, too, which I think is something that can be helpful to a team trying to repeat.
We've talked a lot about the injuries on the other side, where it's great to hear Jeremiah Smith is healthy. We knew Carnell Tate fighting through his injury, so those guys are good to go. Murph, I feel like the defense, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure the time off is good for everybody, but it really didn't seem like there were too many guys having to fight through nagging injuries at this point. I know there were some during the season with some guys, but you know, I feel like they're pretty healthy on that side of the ball, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, the big injuries obviously were the wide receivers, and obviously now Tegra with the surgery he had. So everyone's dealing with something, as you're saying, but I do think they've stayed pretty healthy. And now this time does give you, hey, just an example, Caleb Downs, you've been battling nicks and bruises all season. Take some reps off these first week or two in order to heal up and be ready to go. Similar to what, NFL teams who get that first round bye, right? You get some of these guys off their feet a little bit and then you ramp them back up. So I think that is the advantage, and I do think he'll be able to handle that pretty well.
And that is the nice thing too, like that's a defense that, as well as they've played this year, it's never as simple as just go out there and do what you've been doing, because you obviously have a different opponent. But Murph, I mean, that defense has been so electric, and they've got all their guys. Like, I see this. I know we're still over a week away from the game, but I was talking on my weekly show up here in Cleveland, and I was just like, I don't know really how Miami's going to score. And then that's not meant to be a shot at Mark Fletcher, mm-hmm. I think is a really good player. And like, we certainly all have questions about Carson Beck and things like that. But I go, regardless, let's set aside, the offense and a Heisman finalist and one of the best offensive players in football and Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sain over there. Let's set that all aside. I just sit here and I look at this defense and I go, I don't know what Miami's going to do.
Yeah, I think for every team it's tough. It was tough for Indiana, and they were a very talented offense, right? I mean, again, going back, only 13 points, and struggled to move the ball at points in that game. Ended with 340 yards, had some big plays, but I think for the most part, Ohio State's defense did what you would expect them to do. This defense, it's as good as I've ever seen. I mean, I'm just being honest here in terms of a college defense. I think the blend of what Matt Patricia knows and his ability to teach it with some really intelligent players like Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, like guys that took it all in and are versatile and able to be used in different ways, has been a perfect marriage. And that's not to say, Matt Patricia couldn't do it with, guys that maybe are a little bit different, but I think it's just worked out so well. And that's, for me, what I think will be the Buckeyes' biggest advantage throughout this playoff. If the offense can score 21 points, we'll say, I think you're going to win most games because of what this defense can do.
Well, speaking of the defense, Kenyatta Jackson, he's starting to take attention. He's starting to bring up the elephant in the room when it comes to the holding calls and just how Ohio State's not getting any of them. We'll hear from him. Want to get Murph's thoughts on, is this a good thing to be bringing this up and trying to bring attention to it? We'll get to all of it coming up. Buckeyes Show, Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana with you right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
This is Aaron
Juice. Real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate.
Colin Mann here for 6 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. Set sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas, with Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
New creamy parm pizzas are now at Donato's. A decadent new sauce on two delicious new pizzas. Try the crave-worthy chicken veggie parm with roasted chicken, fresh veggies, and that rich creamy parm base. Or the savory bacon spinach parm, where smoky bacon meets fresh spinach for parm pizza perfection. Craving something different? Create your own creamy parm pizza today. Donato's. Gotta love more.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call The Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is The Buckeye Show.
It's been so long and we've still got a week to go until the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes. Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana. We'll hear from Kenyatta Jackson in a second. You know, Murph, like I feel like we have talked about it, not necessarily together, we will now, but on different outlets and different various things, that this schedule of college football is like, it's so broken. I get that the easy kind of complaint is that New Year's just fell on a Wednesday and a Thursday, right? Like, and I get that that's college football, that the New Year's Eve bowls, they'll always have those significance. That's why they want it there. And it just kind of screws stuff up because it's not like you can have the first round played, you know, this weekend coming up. And it's just the schedule off. I want the bye for Ohio State. Trust me, I'm happy they got the bye and get the time off. But, man, this schedule just can get so messed up so fast. And I feel like this is one of those years.
Oh, yeah. And look, I think they should change this whole thing and tell the Bulls either, you know, adjust or we're going to move on to a different format. But for me, the layoff that we were just talking about makes this ridiculous. I think you should, you know, if you want to have a week between the end of the regular season or conference championship week, if that still exists, and, you know, then you can still do Heisman and Army Navy and stuff that week. And then but start the playoff quicker, you know. Look,
yeah,
there's no reason to drag this out into late January the way that they do. And, you know, I understand that you want the Rose Bowl and the Rose Bowl wants to be on New Year's Day and tradition and all that stuff. But, you know, I think you could easily go to home venues for teams. I mean, look how great that was a year ago with Tennessee coming into the Horseshoe and some of these games this past weekend. You know, if Bulls want to be involved, maybe you do them in the semis in the national championship. But for me, it goes on too long. It doesn't need to be this. You could go week by week once the season's over, have your playoff just like the NFL does, and it doesn't need to stretch out. I mean, having covered this last year, it was a lot of fun. Do not get me wrong. I wouldn't have traded that for the world. But man, I and this was talking to a lot of other people, and not just people in the media, but people on the staff and things like that. Like, people were beat. People were exhausted. You know, I can only imagine the players that, and stuff like that. So I think that there's an easy way to solve this. You just have to either tell the Bulls, like I said, to adjust what they want to do, or, you know, we'll do the playoff without you, and then maybe the Bulls mean more to other programs. I don't know, but it just doesn't need to go on this long.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm the biggest college football fan, like Ohio State fan, and just the layoff, I lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust me, I'll get up for the game on Wednesday, and like, I'm going to be really excited next week when they play. But especially with just 3 out of 4 games being atrocities this past weekend, like, I'm losing interest. Like, I'm going to turn to the NFL this week. Obviously, we don't have the bowl games or the major college football playoff bowl games this weekend or anything like that. But yeah, I just think it hurts. And we'll all tune in, we'll all watch it, and I'll get it. But there's just got to be a better solution out there. It's got to be hard. It's got to be hard for the players, the coaches, everybody involved. And I get that the bye is meant as that reward. We were kind of talking about that earlier too, Murph. Like, the bye is meant as that reward, but that's a double-edged sword. You know, like we heard from Matt Patricia, you know, God, there's only so much the team can do. They're just kind of waiting around. They know it's at least Miami now. At least you have that to start prepping for. But can you imagine going through 3 weeks of practice and you're still not playing a game? That's crazy.
Right. And, you know, you think about the way, you know, and the season's short enough as it is, right? And then you go and then you got spring practice. And we've talked to guys about this before, like spring practice, fall camp, you work all week and then you don't have that excitement, that release at the end where you get to play a game, right? But it's the off season and you deal with it and whatnot. But then you get into this part of the year and you're in that routine of, okay, you know, we practice these days and this is how each week works. And then we get to Saturday, boom, we go out, we play, and we've got that. We win, we lose. Now we break it down. And now you've got these weeks where you are putting in that same level of work, but you don't have that game on a Saturday to kind of be your reward for that work at the end. You do eventually. It just, as you said, is drawn out a bit more.
Let's hear from Kenyatta Jackson now, an Ohio State defensive tackle, and the holding statistics that have been brought up about the Buckeyes and not getting these calls. And, you know, for Kenyatta, not D-tackle, D-end, I should say, you know, him, Caden Curry, even Caden McDonald, the stats speak for themselves. Well, what is it, Murph? Isn't it like over the last 2 years, like you can count on one hand how many times Ohio State, the opposing offense, has got a holding call against them? And it's starting to become more and more of a topic of conversation. Let's hear from Kenyatta Jackson, because he spoke about the holding calls that they're not getting for the Buckeyes defense.
We just can't let the offensive lineman hold me. That's what Coach Patricia and everybody else was saying. You know, Sonny Styles been on me big. He was like, you're too good to let offensive lineman hold you. So going into the next game, can't let him hold me.
It never seems to be that easy, right? Guy tackles you, he tackles you on offense, and that's a holding call and moving on. But I think there's something to be said about the quick hands, kind of swiping the hands away. But I appreciate Kenyatta bringing this up, Murph, because, like, I know the referees are not meant to read, and I'm sure a lot of them shut it down the best they can. And I want them to be impartial for this game. I want them to call it like they see it. But I feel like the talking about it is going to lead to just, we need to be better about seeing these calls, because some of them are just blatant. Some of them are just absolutely horrendous that Ohio State defenders are getting held and there's not even, the ref didn't even, they don't even reach for the flag. They don't even look to throw a flag sometimes.
Yeah. Applaud Kenyatta Jackson there for not going off, because he certainly could have had he wanted to. There's one in the Big Ten championship game on him that stood out to me, where the referee is, and you know, our vantage point from the NFL press box, we're up pretty high there, so good view of the field. And I mean, the referee is maybe 5 to 7 yards behind the play, and you can just see him get, I mean, he's getting held. He throws his arms up in the air. You know, you see the guys kind of sell it a little bit because they have to these days, and just nothing. And you could see Kenyatta start to lose it. And, you know, he eventually just kind of ran back to the line and got ready to, get involved in the next play. But I understand the frustration. And look, all defensive ends are held, right? And at some point, but you're right. The stat about Ohio State, I think now they've gotten 2 holding calls in Big Ten play going back. We're over a year now, and that's one of them was not accepted because it was in the Michigan game and they completed a pass, and then they had one in the Indiana game. But there is something to what Kenyatta's saying as well. Now, I think the referees need to be better and get some of this right. But you think about, you know, a Chase Young or jump to the NFL and some of the top defensive ends, a Miles Garrett, like those guys are definitely getting held at times, right? Like tackles and tight ends are doing everything they can to stop the best of the best pass rushers. And they still figure out a way to get home. And, you know, you look at what Miles Garrett's doing this year in Cleveland going after that sack record, like he's finding a way. And so I think that Kenyatta's right. Like, it's frustrating. You hope that they get the calls. You need them to get the calls. But at the same time, what can you be doing to get past that or to avoid or to fight through whatever it may be to still have an impact? And look, if he's getting held, he still sometimes is getting, you know, the quarterback catches him out of the side of his eye or whatnot and gets the ball out. So I still think he's having an impact, but I definitely think you want those plays called correctly and you want to be able to fight through some of that.
And there's always that element, you talk about Miles Garrett, of he's just so much better sometimes than some of the offensive tackles. And I think there's a little element of that with Ohio State. Now, in this Miami game, they have two really good tackles. So it's like the talent differential there isn't going to be as high as maybe some of those other Big Ten games, you know, that they weren't getting those calls in. And that's going to be something I'm going to have a real early eye on, because Murph, I'm putting you on the spot as a $1,000 question that I don't know if you know.
Okay.
The crew for the game, do we know? I'm assuming they would be Big 12 or SEC, right?
Yeah, I haven't looked. I'm sure that that's probably if been announced.
If it's even been announced, it might not even be, right?
Yeah, I would assume at this point they would have assigned it, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know which way or which conference they're coming from. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be Big Ten or ACC, because obviously you've got those two teams competing. So yeah, it's your guess is probably solid there.
But and that's kind of the only reason I bring that up is the fresh eyes maybe on it and to see, and I'm trying to think of a way of getting it. And the thing is, we're not calling for Ohio State to get breaks. I'm not calling for them to get calls when they don't deserve them. Or if I just want to call it right. I just want it when guys are getting clearly held and it's obvious to everybody in the stadium except the guys with the hankies in their belts and they refuse to throw him, that's a problem. Something's got to be done about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was one call. That's why the stat is Big Ten games, because I believe it was the national championship game against Notre Dame. One got called. So maybe you're right. Maybe the different referees who aren't aware of this or aren't in the Big Ten will help this a little bit. But yeah, when you get to this point in the season, these are the biggest games. You don't want what happened in 2019, for instance, when Ohio State feels like they got gypped out of, you know, two calls in that game with the Sean Wade targeting against Clemson, and then the fumble with J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
Like, you, even as the referees in those games, you don't want to be that story. And I say that as a Rams fan and all the Puka Nacua stuff last week. But you don't want to be, everyone's talking about what a bad job you did and how you ruined the game for one of these teams. You want to get it right. And I imagine that they'll be working to do that. And I assume that there is some ability, communication between coaches or whatnot before the games to, you know, hey, you know, we've had this issue all year. Keep an eye out on it. You know, our guys are getting held, and you know, maybe you put that in their heads, and maybe it was smart this week of Kenyatta to bring it up so that it is something.
I think so. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree 100%. I think it was smart to bring it up.
Yeah, and so we'll see. But I do agree. Like, you know, Caden Curry's getting held too. Other guys are getting held. So you've got to fight through it and, you know, use your technique and things like that. And look, Larry Johnson's been doing this a long time, right? I'm sure he will have him ready. And let's not pretend like Kenyatta has not been able to get to the quarterback. He has had a pretty successful season this year.
Speaking of the defense, stories today reading about other head coaches and their defensive coordinators and how they really didn't see eye to eye, but that's another story for another show. That's not the show we do here. I want to talk about Matt Patricia and Ryan Day and the relationship that they have forged between one another, and frankly, the change now that Ryan Day is going to be taking over play calling. How might that impact the defense? We'll hear from Matt Patricia coming up. Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana, Buckeye Show with Fans. Stay with us.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender,
it's just Bo Bishop.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Men, it's tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Rooster's Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Rooster's location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Rooster's. Rooster's, a fun casual joint.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
Good evening, I'm Isaiah Jacob. This afternoon, John Mobley Jr. led Ohio State to an 89-63 victory over Grambling State. Mobley finished the game with 20 points, including 5 3-pointers. The Buckeyes now get into the heart of Big Ten play as they face off against Rutgers next Friday. In Cleveland, Browns running back Quinshon Judkins had surgery to repair his fractured fibula and dislocated ankle. The Browns announced that the surgery went well and that Judkins will be able to resume football activities at some point in the next 4 to 6 months. In other Browns injury news, the deadline to activate Deshaun Watson from the physically unable to perform list was today. Coach Kevin Stefanski announced he will not be activated, thus meaning Watson will not play in the 2025 season. In the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers are on the second half of a back-to-back tonight against the Pelicans at 7:30. Darius Garland is currently listed as a game-time decision. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We're very close to Buckeye football.
Very close. Uncomfortably close.
You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Taking you up till 8 o'clock here on The Fan, Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana. We've already heard from Matt Patricia, Ohio State defensive coordinator, a little bit earlier in the show talking about the layoff. But, Murph, there's another interesting thing that he was talking about was the relationship with Ryan Day. And frankly, the change now that Ryan Day is going to call plays, and let's start there, Murph, because you and I didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday. Josh Perry and I did, but just the news that he's taken over for Brian Hartline, and I'm going to just take it for what it is. I think it's the right move on several fronts. It's frankly not fair to Hartline to put all that on him when he's trying to get ready for the other job, and I'm respectful of that. You know, it's not like I'm angry about that. I'm happy he got that job. Let's, you know, still coach the receivers, get him up to speed, but it's just one thing off his plate. And I've always been one that I'm a fan of Ryan Day's play calling and how he runs his offense. It's still his offense. I don't think this is going to be the big change that a lot of people might be worried about.
No, I agree. I think if there is a change, I think it is in a positive way in that you get a more experienced guy who has been in these big game situations, you know, handling the play calling going forward. And, you know, I don't think Brian Hartline did a bad job this season. I know that the Indiana game is going to be fresh in everyone's mind. And obviously, He just accepted the job. There was a lot going on. I mean, the whole offensive staff with Chris Henry Jr. and a couple of the other commits that they were trying to make sure still signed with Ohio State. There was just a lot going on that week. And now Brian Hartline has even more going on with trying to get the USF stuff up and running under his leadership. So I think it makes sense. But this isn't a new situation. It's happened before. Obviously, there's more involved in college football now when a guy takes over. But look at Oregon. I mean, both coordinators on their staff are leaving. So they're having to deal with, you know, even more than what Ohio State is. The fortunate thing is you have a guy like Ryan Day. And I think back to the 2022 playoff semifinal against Georgia. And I know Ohio State loses that game, but that's the type of Ryan Day when he can focus in on, I'm going to be the play caller and the head coach, and we're going to go and, you know, kind of free Ryan Day, so to speak. I think you get some of the best offensive football that the Buckeyes can do. And look, I know a year ago he wasn't, you know, joining Chip Kelly up in the press box to call those plays, but he got much more heavily involved with the offensive side of things when he didn't have to worry about recruiting and everything that CEO role that he talked about once the playoffs started. He could dial in on football and specifically offensive football. He trusted Jim Knowles to handle the defense. This year he trusts Matt Patricia to handle the defense. And so I think this was going to happen in some fashion, regardless of what happened with Brian Hartline. And now it's just a recognition of like, look, this is a guy that was already doing this for the first time. Now he's becoming a head coach for the first time. Trying to make him balance all this stuff just doesn't make sense when you have somebody on the staff already in Ryan Day and some of these other guys. Let's not forget Tyler Bowen has been a play caller before. You know, they really like Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler. So it's a fortunate situation in that you have somebody to fall back on, and not only, you know, somebody who's done it, but somebody who's done it at a really high level and been successful.
But it still has an impact, because when he wasn't, he was more the CEO coach and kind of oversaw everything and maybe was peeking over what's going on at the defense, what can we help with, what can we do. So let's hear from Matt Patricia, of course, Buckeyes defensive coordinator, on just kind of the relationship with Ryan Day, but also what might be changing with him taking over the play calling.
No, I mean, defensively, I think we're just trying to make sure we're taking care of our role, our job, doing our job on our side of the ball, and making sure that our stuff is as tight as it can be from that aspect of it. So I think that the team in general, Coach Day does a great job of coaching the team. You know, he's really involved with all three aspects and making sure that, you know, we're approaching everything the right way, playing the game the right way, and all the pieces are coming together to help us, you know, put us in the best situation we can to win. So we're going to just stay focused on making sure we do our job on defense and try to get better each week. So
that's Matt Patricia on Ryan Day taking over the offensive play calling. And I think you hit a lot of what Coach Patricia was talking about there, Murph, where this was already kind of the system in place. So it is a change, but it's something everybody feels really comfortable handling the role that they have, handling the job that they have. And with the extended time off, as we've talked a lot about that, a positive to pull out of it, you got plenty of time to get this figured out, right? To get Julian comfortable with hearing Ryan Day's voice and cadence versus, you know, Brian Hartline's and things like that. The team has all the time in the world to get comfortable with it.
Well, it sounds like from what Ryan Day said, and this probably should have been followed up on, but it'll be Billy Fessler who is in, you know, talking in the headset.
Oh, really? Okay. All
which
right.
I believe Billy Fessler was at least able to talk. It sounded like he was able at points this season. Ryan Day mentioned, you know, Billy Fessler's communication to Julian Sayin. So I don't know if both he and Hartline, and they both sit up in the box. So I don't.
I was going to say, isn't Billy? He's up in the box,
yeah,
too, right?
So,
yeah. So maybe that's why.
Right. I don't know if they'll both be able, or they have both been able to communicate. So how does that all work? Well, if Brian Hartline has been, you know, looking at the play sheets and making decisions, Billy Fessler is then getting it into Julian Sayin, then it really wouldn't change too much for Julian, other than, you know, you know it's coming from somebody different. But, you know, I think obviously Ryan Day hasn't done this in a year or so, but I think it'll be like, you know, riding a bike for him. In fact, I think he may really enjoy this. Now, does that mean you want him as a Buckeye fan to be doing this again next year? I don't think so, because I think during the season, there's so much going on, and frankly, you don't need him to be play calling for all of those games, right? You need him to be managing the games and stuff like that, you know, making sure you get timeouts at the right time or making sure right guys are in the game, paying attention to what's going on defensively for a lot of the regular season games. Now, if you look at the Buckeyes 2026 schedule, there are some challenging games on there that maybe he will have an impact, but that's a conversation for down the line once they decide what they're going to do with this position. I think in terms of the playoff, you've got, you know, an excited Ryan Day getting back into calling offensive plays. Watch out is what I would advise to opposing defenses.
And off of that, when you talk about him taking it back over, like knowing it's still his overall offense and guys have come and gone through it, so it's never a bad thing to have that kind of fallback. And whoever he might name OC, I loved it, Murph, because it really opens the door on what do they want to do next year. Because you know Brian Hartline's moving on. You know you're going to have an OC. Do you promote Billy Fessler? Do you go outside the building and bring somebody in? Is it, hey, without a doubt, you're calling plays? Or let's see who we hire. Then we can have the conversation of calling plays. Because I would tend to agree with you. I think Ryan Day got into a really good place and system of not calling plays. And I was one, you know, with Chip Kelly, that was, I understood Chip probably wasn't taking that job without that responsibility. I didn't want Ryan Day giving up play calling. I didn't. And I liked him calling the plays. Now, I've never stood on the sidelines and been in a headset and tried to manage the whole game while calling plays, while doing a thousand things. So maybe he just got into that nice groove and that's what he wants. I guess to have the experience of both, to do it, to not do it, then to be back doing it, he's going to be well-equipped on whatever he wants that situation to be for his offensive coordinator next year.
Yeah, and I think as you get through a season, you know, you're involved in recruiting and you're involved in just the daily stuff of what's going on in that building, right? You know, kids' lives. And I mean, there's just a lot that goes on that we don't often talk about because we're not in there and we're talking about the actual games and things like that. And he has to oversee all of that. And there's more of that than ever. I mean, you know, kids are now getting, they're now getting paid, right? And, you know, a kid could come into your office at any point and say, hey, I feel like I deserve a new deal and stuff like that. So you have to help manage that. Now, obviously, he has people, and Mark Pantone has a staff that works with a lot of that. And but it allows him to sort of take a lot off his plate when he's in that CEO role and just kind of oversee things. And I think, look, it's been successful. He won a national championship, right? So you can't really argue with the results. But I do think if you get to this time of year, regardless, him diving back into more football, more offensive football is not going to be a bad thing. And if you get in situations like this in the future, because look, if he hires another offensive coordinator who, you know, is working, not necessarily working his way up, but a guy who may want to go be a head coach someday, you could run into this again in the next couple of years. And, you know, hopefully this works out well enough that, you know, hey, this isn't an issue. We can handle it similar to the way we handled stuff with Brian Hartline. You can kind of balance things. Ryan Day can be more involved, and the offense continues to motor like it has been.
Coming up, we're going to look across college football because just nothing's sacred anymore. Nothing is. We're not going to get one of the most, I don't want to say legacy rivalries out there, but a long-standing tradition will be no more in a couple of years. And really, how the college football playoff is going to change college football scheduling, a conversation we'll get into. East Patrick Murphy, I'm Matt Fontana. It's The Fan, The Buckeye Show.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
This is
on his own. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection and early diagnosis.
The James Cancer Diagnostic Center at Ohio State
is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis.
We are transforming care by giving patients direct access.
The cancer experts who study and treat cancer every day.
If you think you have cancer, the choice is clear.
Choose the James Cancer Diagnostic Center.
Of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Text Extra.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A little breezy out there, plenty of clouds, but dry and mild. Temperatures into the 50s on this Tuesday. Overnight, we'll see a little patchy fog down to around 30 degrees. During the day on Wednesday, Christmas Eve, temperatures back in the low to mid 40s with mostly cloudy skies and light winds in the afternoon. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
We'll take a look across college football now. We got bowl games going on, and I do love it. Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana with you. Murph, I love it because, you know, noon kickoffs. So, oh, Pop-Tart Bowl or the Boca Raton Bowl. Nice cover for Toledo today, by the way, for those interested out there. Well done for the Rockets, but it is fun, even though, like, you know, this year you had all these opt-outs, and you got to get 4-8 teams. They're like, well, hey, you want to go to this bowl game? Like, all right, sure. And then conferences finding teams because they have relationships and they got partnerships and money with these bowl team, or, you know, bowls going on. They need the corporate sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. It's not the bowl season we knew we were growing up, but I still love it.
Yeah, it's very different. We talked about this last week with Beam and Adam King of just, like, it's not the same. Like, you come and turn on these games and they don't have the same juice, the same excitement that they did growing up. And look, we wanted a playoff. We wanted to, you know, make more of these, give more opportunities to teams. This is just kind of a side effect, is that A, you're going to lose some of the bowl matches that you once had because some of those teams are going to be in the playoff. And B, teams are going to look at their season and say, like, well, we didn't make the playoff, especially teams that thought they might be in the mix for it. You know, why go play in what is essentially now looked at as a meaningless game? And, you know, it's almost become the opposite, where we celebrate some of the star players that decide to actually play in these games,
right,
instead of, you know, it being so odd that guys are opting out. You know, I remember when this first kind of started to become a thing, just like how, you know, guys are kind of crucified for it, of like, why, you know, why would you opt out? This is a chance to play with your brothers one last time, and this, that, and the other thing. I remember when Denzel Ward opted out of the Cotton Bowl when Ohio State was playing USC, what was that, 2018, I think, And I, you know, our message boards over at Bucknuts were so irritated about that decision, which actually turned out all right because Jeff Okuda got to make his first start, and that guy turned out pretty good. But you know, it's just it's another change that we've had to make over the last handful of years with the way the sport has gone.
You know, we'll get to talking about the big change with the scheduling coming up in a minute, but you mentioned that, and I bring this up because this guy is just ingrained in my head for a lot, and his name is Ifo Ekpre-Olumu, and he was a corner at Oregon. He was a projected top 10 pick, practice for a bowl game, knee damage, nerve damage. Browns drafted him in like the seventh round. He never even got to a practice with the Browns. And it was, this guy went from, again, a top 10 pick and hopefully a nice long NFL career, millions of dollars. And he got an insurance policy from Oregon, but pennies on what he could have made in the NFL as a top corner, and all that for a practice for a game. And I get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I understand where you're coming from, or not necessarily you, Murph, but where people would be coming from of saying, you know, you got to play, you want to play, all that, versus like looking out for yourself. And I do think that is the nice thing about the college football playoff of having more games is you are, you know, nobody's going to sit out a chance to go in a national championship, right? Nobody's going to sit out, if you're healthy, for a chance to go to the college football playoff. So that is another positive to come out of it. But with all this scheduling going on, and it all inevitably, I think, comes back to the playoff, Murph, because if you're going to have so many more teams making it, I think that incentivizes you in a way to schedule tougher games in the regular season because they don't matter so much. Where on the other side, people would say, no, schedule a cakewalk schedule because as long as you go undefeated, you're going to make it. I don't know what side this comes out for USC and Notre Dame, because it's unfortunate to say that after months of negotiations, USC and Notre Dame officials have failed to reach an agreement on playing what would be the 97th game between the two schools next year. And they're exploring replacement options moving forward. Apparently, Notre Dame has already moved on. They have a two-year agreement to play BYU in 26 and 27, a home-and-home, one in Provo. Then they go to South Bend. They keep saying it's a temporary one, and they hope to get back to it. And it's only if it's going to be missed, but it would only be the second time, I believe, that they've missed in 80 years. And it would have been 79 consecutive meetings, excluding the COVID season. So it goes all the way back to 1926. And like, Murph, I look at it and I say, you know, here's another piece of college football, kind of legacy and history, kind of going to the wayside. And then I also got to stop myself and like, listen, got to realize we got to maybe get with the times and understand that it is about the money. It is about the playoff at this point. I think it's interesting because it's Notre Dame. And kind of where they're at being left out and the pressure to join a conference and things like that. So, like, I initially saw this and I was like up in arms. I'm pissed. And I'm like, man, I hate this. And I look at it. I'm like, you know what? It's kind of what we live in. They'll probably revisit it eventually. And we'll just have to find some other good college football games to fill that void there.
Yeah. I mean, look, when teams have left conferences, right? You know, Texas and the Texas, was it Texas A&M? There was talk about that one when they were moving to the SEC. You know, obviously Nebraska leaving the Big 12 and some of those rivalries that they had. You know, they just played Colorado again for the first time in several years recently. So, look, this isn't the first one. It's obviously two big names, right? So it's a big deal. And they've been two teams that have continued to play despite not being in a conference together. But you're right. I mean, as much as we may not like it, like it is... It is the way of the world, and you know, in college football, and there's, you know, there's really not much you can do, right? But going back to your point at the beginning about the scheduling and, you know, more difficult teams, like, I hate the Steve Sarkisian mentality of like, well, if we hadn't played Ohio State, we wouldn't, you know, we'd be in the college football playoff. Well, there's no guarantee of that,
right?
Like, you know, they could have gone on and lost to another team that was like Florida. Like, that's the reason you're not in. You lost a conference game to a bad opponent. And so, you know, I hope that that's not the mentality teams take going forward. Now, I say that having heard Kurt Cignetti at the beginning of the or before the season at Big Ten Media Days talking about how
come, you know, up with their schedule this year.
He's like, we're, jeez, you know, we're adapting the SEC schedule. What I think the conferences should do, at least the Power Four conferences, is now that everyone's going to play nine games, you go to a nine game schedule. You have one. Every team plays one other Power Four team, whether you want to do like a ACC Big Ten challenge type, yes, and just rotate the conferences and, you know, predetermine based on, you know, last year's finish or preseason rankings, however you want to do it. But you know, every year, hey, we've got that game slotted in. Whoever it's going to be, we're going to play a team with, you know, with a pulse during the non-conference. And if you want to schedule another one, you can. If you want to play two, you know, cupcake games, so to speak, you can do that too. But that guarantees everybody's playing a game like that. So if you lose that game, it doesn't hurt you because there are no other teams like Indiana that played no non-conference, or even Ohio State a year ago. And fans get rewarded because there's still going to be good games. You can still do some of these neutral site games if you want to do those that they do early in the season. Like, you have to remember that this is a product. And eventually, if you're just playing those three cupcake non-conference games, people are just not going to show up. And that's bad for business, too.
I also think about, you mentioned, just kind of talk about Texas, right? Like, they also got kind of the short end of the stick in the SEC scheduling because it was a tough go. I mean, they had Oklahoma. I know they beat Vanderbilt, but they just happened to catch Georgia. I know they beat Texas A&M, which I thought was frankly going to be enough to put them in there. And then you kind of look at, is it Texas A&M who I'm thinking of? I mean, Murph, I can't remember. There was an SEC team. I'm like, you barely played anybody.
Yeah, A&M.
And you were, yeah, they, it was A&M, right?
Yeah, they were, all of their opponents other than Texas were in the bottom half of the SEC standings.
Yeah, like, that's your anger. Don't get angry about who you schedule non-conference. You got the short end of the SEC stick. Now, that'll all rotate through, and I think it's no different for the Big Ten. There's bottom feeders in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Did Ohio State have an overly hard schedule in the Big Ten? No. Is that their fault? No. Nobody knew what was going to happen to Penn State. You know, trust me, I'd love for Wisconsin to become relevant again. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'd love them to be good again. It's just that roll of the dice, and I think eventually when the College Football Playoff Committee grows a brain and stops letting in teams that don't deserve to make it, Texas would have been in, Notre Dame would have been in, they would have been getting better games than Tulane and James Madison, and I'm just sick of the farce, the facade of like, ooh, everybody's got to get a chance, and make everybody feel good. No, those games were horrendous. Three out of four games this past weekend were awful. I'm sure the TV ratings were bad, especially with the NFL.
They just
on there.
Came out. I just saw this as
really?
We were talking about
it's
this.
It's funny yes. as I say that.
Yeah, they, so they... here you go. Alabama OU, that was the Friday night game. 14.9 million viewers.
Okay. Solid.
Miami, Texas A&M, 14.8 million viewers. Now, both of those games were on ESPN's network.
Correct. The, and the noon, they had nothing up going up against them.
Right.
Because now the marathon started.
Yeah. Then you get in the NFL, and I believe the games moved over to the TNT, even though they were, you know, all the stuff was run by ESPN.
Right.
They so Tulane Ole Miss, 6.2 million, and Oregon James Madison, 4.4 million.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Follow the money.
Look at that. I mean, come on. And again, it'll all get fixed. And that's where I think it would continue to behoove these teams to schedule the good ones. Go ahead. It's not going to hurt it really. And eventually we saw a three loss team make it.
Mm-hmm.
Now Texas is going to sit there and complain saying that they were a three loss team and should have made it. They will make it. They will make it one day.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
And I think you go, if you just, instead of having automatic qualifiers or whatever's been suggested, if you just rank the top 12 teams or the top, you know, if we go to 16 or whatever it is, then there's no, because I think the biggest issue with the group of five is being concerned about them filing antitrust lawsuits about not being able to get in. But if you're just ranking these teams,
I don't know
what your case is, because we have seen in the past, you know, we saw Cincinnati get into the 4-team playoff. And actually, the next year, I believe, had it been a 12-team playoff, Cincinnati would have gotten in. Those Boise State teams. Now, it's more difficult at this point because a lot of your talent leaves, so it's hard to sustain things because of NIL and the transfer portal. But there are teams that can get into the top 12 and work their way into the playoff and, you know, take the conference stuff out of it and just say, hey, we're going to rank the top whatever teams, and those are the teams that get in.
And now, with the Notre Dame got that poison pill, like, hey, if we're in the top 12, you can't kick us out next year, that kind of stuff. I mean, I'd be filing a lawsuit against that. Why don't we have that included?
Right.
Oh, wait, because they're not in a conference. Maybe it's time for them to join. It's just a whole can of worms.
Yeah, it's just, it's too complicated. And you know, if you're talking to somebody who's not a college football fan watching these games, I'm glad they got rid of those. The conference champions get the first round buys, because that made no sense a year ago. But it's still just overly complicated. You have a ranking system, and whether you want to change that to computers or, you know, not have a show once a week or whatever it may be, you can make those changes, but you have a ranking system. Use that to determine how many teams get in the postseason. It just seems pretty simple.
Bring the BCS back. I'm a child of the BCS, and I love the BCS, Murph. Bring them back. Do 12. Do whatever you need to do. All right, coming up, we are going to go to the NFL side of things, because the Pro Bowl rosters were announced today. A couple of Buckeyes made it, but there were also a couple of Buckeyes on the snub list that didn't make it, and there is one. The replacement, because I have an article for you, Murph, that I'm going to run through here, where Benjamin Solak and and Seth Walter of ESPN, they went through the biggest snubs and then who they should replace on the Pro Bowl roster. There's a Buckeye on that snub list, and he's replacing someone. I go, wow, that was a gutsy call. We'll tell you who gets all of it. We're 2 minutes away from that here on The Fan.
Men, we hear it all the time. A man comes in to get his erectile dysfunction treated, and very soon thereafter, he tells us that his relationship is renewed. This is Jeff for Tri-State Men's Health, and you should know that ED doesn't just affect you, it also often affects your partner. They can feel undesired, unwanted, they may even feel like you don't love them anymore. At Tri-State Men's Health, we've successfully treated thousands of men for ED with protocols that have success rates as high as 90%, which means if you're like most men, we can get you back to the guy you used to be. You could even last up to an hour or more and find you're performing like you haven't in years. So call us today and give your partner the gift of renewed love. Your first visit is only $99 and includes blood work, a medical consult, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in our office, your visit is free. Call 800-900-9654 or go to tristatemenshealth.com. That's tristatemenshealth.com. We have two convenient locations in the area to serve you, in Hilliard and Westerville. Tri-State Men's Health, a Promenic restorative health practice.
You get up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from PillowSoft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
Pro Bowl announced for the NFL, and you know, it is the Pro Bowl. It kind of is what it is. Doesn't quite have the luster of the all-pro teams and things like that, but a few Buckeyes, former Buckeyes, getting some recognition on the pro side of things. Patrick Murphy, I'm Matt Fontana. We're with you on the Buckeyes Show. We'll take you up until 8 o'clock tonight. So, you know, the Pro Bowl's on the NFL side of things, Murph. Like, we know it's a fan vote, and they've redone it with the coaches and the players and all that kind of stuff. I know there's incentives for it. And they use it a lot of times when they get down to Hall of Fame discussions for guys. Me, personally, I've always looked at all pros. I think that matters more to say you were literally the best guy. And then, as we know, for the Pro Bowl, eventually the 7th and 8th alternate make it because nobody wants to go play in the – it's not even a game anymore, obviously. But nobody wants to even go do the stupid obstacle course and play dodgeball anymore. So everybody opts out. But I still think it's some interesting recognition so that we only have – I'm kind of shocked to say only two Buckeyes made it, not as alternates, like 100% made the team. And it was Denzel Ward and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Of course, I'm here in Cleveland. Denzel was so close to playing 17 games, too. He missed the last two games. He said he's coming back this weekend to play against the Steelers for the Browns. But that's really kind of the only thing that I think has slowed down Denzel Ward in his career at Murph has been the injuries. Like, when he's out there, he's a 100% lockdown corner. A lot of the same technique he played at Ohio State. He's man-to-man, gets his hands on football. He really is a true number one corner. It just has been the injuries that slowed him down from time to time.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him that he's dealt with that. I mean, he is a bit of a smaller guy, and obviously it's a physical league. But, you know, it's funny you bring him up. My fiance is from the same high school as him, and her sister was the same grade. So, you know, he's always somebody that I've thought, you know, obviously keeping an eye on him because he's a Buckeye and he stayed in Ohio and, you know, going back home. But, you know, having sort of a distant connection, we always, you know, want him to succeed. So yeah, it was good to see him out there a lot this year, and I'm glad he's getting this recognition. You know, I thought, yeah, I've watched, I think, all but one Browns game this year. Like, I thought he played as well as any corner in the NFL. You know, obviously doesn't get the same recognition as some guys given the Browns overall record, but that defense, I mean, you know, all three levels is really good, and he's a big reason why.
The other one's Jackson Smith and Jigba, an absolute no question. I mean, guy was at a time the runaway for offensive player of the year, and I still think he's going to get some love for that, and especially like going back to that electric game with the Rams the other night. He was off to a slow start, and you kind of wonder, like, are they going to be able to get him the football here? But when they needed him the most, he caught that touchdown. He was massive. Just another young superstar wide receiver coming out of Ohio State. And I really do think, even at this point, Jackson Smith-Njigba is, at worst, a top five NFL wide receiver this year.
He's been fantastic. You know, I watched the NFC West quite closely, and you know, there were questions about the Seahawks offense this year. You know, they signed Cooper Kupp to a pretty big deal after the Rams let him go, and it's like him and Jackson, you know, a sort of run down older Cooper Kupp and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Obviously, the receivers they had, you know, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are gone. So, what is this going to look like? You bring in Sam Darnold. Well, you can understand what they did now, right, with Jackson. I think most people who followed Ohio State knew that Jackson had this in him, but it just hadn't happened at the NFL level yet. So really good to see, except when he plays against my Rams. But the season he's had has been impressive, especially considering there isn't that other guy there. You know, teams right, can yeah. double him and stuff, yeah. and he's still put up these monster numbers. And it does make you a little sad that his last year at Ohio State was ruined by that hamstring injury, because, you know, we saw what he did as a sophomore. Man, that could have been special with him, Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Buka all out there. Like, that could have been, I mean, it was already a high-powered offense with C.J. Stroud throwing him the ball. You add Jackson into that, and I don't know what it would have looked like.
We'll get to Chris Olave here in a second. Just a little breaking news out of the NFL. The NFL has held D.K. Metcalf's two-game suspension, so he's out for the Browns game, and then Baltimore, as Pittsburgh's trying to close things out for the AFC North. But the biggest thing beyond that is that it could potentially, or it has voided guarantees in his contract. So up to $45 million of what was guaranteed money is now voided. Now, I want to make this clear to everybody. The Steelers might still pay him that money. But instead of it being like, nope, it's yours 100%, there's no question, now the Steelers actually have an out if they don't want to give him this money. And for those that don't know, he got suspended for punching a fan. There was a history between those two. I got rolled up here in Cleveland this week, Murph, because I was like, I kind of side with DK. Like, that guy seemed like a troll loser. And sometimes I like troll losers to get their butts kicked, but that's just me. All right, fine. But not for $45 million. I don't think that would have cost me $45 million. But the NFL upheld DK Metcalf's two-game suspension, so he's out for the final two. And the Browns catch a little break this weekend. So there's a list on ESPN from Benjamin Solak and Seth Walter. They're their ESPN analysts, but like kind of the stat guys. They really like to run the analytics side things for ESPN. And they went through the list of snubbed players in two different categories. Number one was absolutely should have made the Pro Bowl, and then probably should have made the Pro Bowl. So I'm going to give you a first example, right? They say Jordan Love should have absolutely made the Pro Bowl, and he should have replaced Sam Darnold. And they say the wins are here, they're kind of close, but it's just Love's QBR is third in the NFL. Darnold is 12th. They're both accurate, but there's just Love when it comes to the turnovers. Darnold has 18 this year, Love has 8, so they give some love to Jordan Love why he should have made it. Now, this is the one that I had a double take, and I brought this up to Isaiah before the show because I was like, whoa. So the snub is Chris Olave. And that's not my argument here, because they say Chris Olave is top 10 in all the volume stats. He's 5th in targets, 6th in receptions, 8th in yards, 8th in receiving touchdowns. And to your point earlier, Murph, about Jack Smith and Jigba not having another guy, Benjamin Solak writes, it is literally Chris Olave and nobody else for the New Orleans Saints, and he's still able to put this up. Here's the shocking thing. He says they should take out Amon-Ra St. Brown and put in Chris Olave. And I love Chris. I think he should make it, but I don't know, man. I'm a big Amon-Ra St. Brown fan.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, based on, and I don't have St. Brown's stats in front of me, but just, you know, kind of watching this year, I do think he hasn't had the year that he has in the past.
Sure. Yeah.
But he is a name. And I mean, you look at the Pro Bowl list. There's a lot of names on there. I believe Travis Kelce got a Pro Bowl.
He's in. He's like, yeah. I don't want to say the starter, but like he's in.
Yeah,
like,
this is the worst year of his career. And yeah. I don't, you know, that's one for me that's just like, well, you're getting in off your name and what you've done. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like you said, this is, you know, it's not what it used to be. But yeah, look, I think a healthy Chris Olave, he's been over 1,000 yards every year of his career, including this one. He went over that last weekend. I think he's been really good for a Saints team that, frankly, he's probably not in there because no one's watching them because they've been bad. I know they've gotten a couple wins recently, but yeah, they're not even really just that fun to watch outside of Olave and maybe a couple other guys. So I get it because people probably outside of Saints fans aren't really tuning into their games. But yeah, I mean, I think you can make an argument. It is shocking because St. Brown is obviously such a big name and has been so good, but I do think the way they explain it there, that there's some validity.
So I had the stats. So Amon-Ra has 98 grabs. Chris Olave has 92. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 1,194 yards. Chris Olave, 1,044. So, you know, 150-yard difference. Then 11 touchdowns for Amon-Ra, 8 for Chris Olave. So they're kind of similar on pretty much all of it, but I think what Solak was also saying is, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown had Sam Laporta for most of the year. Jameson Williams has been massive for that offense. They're throwing to even the, what's that, Isaac Deshela kid. He's got like 10 grabs and 6 of them are touchdowns or things like that. So in a high-powered offense, Olave's doing this while he's basically all by himself. The other Buckeye on this list of a snub was Chase Young. And I was happy to see this because we know his career didn't quite get off to the start that anybody expected to when he was in Washington. He's bought through injuries, but they said you probably could swap him in. They would say Byron Young, the outside linebacker for the Rams, might get taken out. And I think at this point, too, if the Rams go off deep into the playoffs, there's a good chance that Chase could make it. But they say per NFL Next Gen stats, he has one of the fastest get-off and time-to-pressure rates in the NFL, talking about Chase Young. So I just want to bring it up and shout him out. He's down in New Orleans with Olave, a couple of Buckeyes down there as well. And again, we all know didn't quite get off to the NFL career that he wanted to, but really I think has turned it around over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. And he seems to have found a nice home in New Orleans over the last two seasons. You know, I spend most Sundays at we'll call it a local watering hole that has most of the games on, and we've put the Saints on a decent amount there. And, you know, I feel like a lot of the times I look up at that game, and again, I'm not watching that game as closely as some of the others, but Chase Young is doing things and he's on the screen and whatnot. And that's what we expected from him after the year he had as, you know, Heisman finalist and whatnot at Ohio State, and got off to the really good start, was, you know, defensive rookie of the year and all those things his first year, and injuries and whatnot have derailed it a bit. But yeah, I'm glad to see he is getting, you know, not official recognition, but like you said, could still end up there if other guys opt out and at least get, you know, recognition in this way from those guys at ESPN.
So we got plenty of time to go for the next Ohio State game. So we're going to wrap up the Buckeye show tonight. I kind of want to get a vibe from Murph where we go from here. Like, what's the plan for Ohio State? When are they leaving to get to the game? All that kind of stuff. So it gets all of it coming up. Buckeye show right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad. They're in the ice.
If I gave somebody my number and they called me, I'm out. I don't know you like that. You don't need to be calling my phone. We can text.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Keep your family.
Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind. That's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, and RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to The Buckeye Show.
Still got a ways to go for the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes. What's the next week plus going to look like for Ohio State as they get ready to go for their quest for a national championship? Matt Fontana, Patrick Murphy with you tonight for the Buckeye Show. And Murph, again, just kind of what you know, what you understand about the team. Just what is it going to look like for them over the next couple of weeks? Obviously, they don't play again until next Wednesday. The game is the Cotton Bowl, so it's down at Jerry's World at AT&T Stadium, so they got to get down to Texas. Just kind of lay it out for everybody, a little insight of what you might have, just what's going to be going on with Ohio State for the next couple of days.
Yeah, so today, I believe, was full practice number 10 as they headed into the postseason. That first week, it seems like it was sort of not, I think players were kind of in and out, coaches were in and out, everyone was still getting work done, but it wasn't as, you know, structured as, hey, we practice at this time, we watch film at this time, is kind of my understanding. Now they're back into that more typical routine. Guys will be off for Christmas. It'll be short, so I imagine some guys will head home if you can make it. I assume the guys who live further away will stay in town and you know, go with families or coaches or something to spend the holidays with them. And then they're back the 26th, which is Friday. And the first part of that practice is actually open to the media. So we'll get a little bit of a look. They have to do that for each of the playoff games. And then they head down to Dallas on Sunday, the 28th. They arrive later in the evening and we'll be there. And then it's the practice down at the stadium, I believe, Monday, Tuesday, and game Wednesday.
And it seems so far away, like you said, what, 10 practices, and they still have a bunch to go to kind of get there. But, you know, a veteran team where the majority of the guys, even the ones that kind of transferred in, have been a part of the big games before. But most of these guys were here and went through that run last year of what it's like to kind of play these games, the change in the schedule, the change in the system. And Murph, I think that's huge. And Miami, you know, as you mentioned it, not even being involved up for a national championship since 2002, this is a little different, right? And that's an edge. Is it a massive edge? Is it something that's actually going to play out in the game on Wednesday? I don't know. I doubt it, but I just know it's an edge for Ohio State because they've done it year after year.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that they can lean into. You know, I know a lot of the contributors left for the NFL last offseason, but there are guys that are back like Sonny Styles and Caleb Downs and the offensive linemen. And then a lot of the other guys, you know, Julian Sayin, you know, guys like Jermaine Matthews were a part of it, right? They're in the program. You know, some guys got to play a little bit, but even a guy like Julian Sayin got to watch. He talked about watching Will Howard this week. So they're familiar with it. You look at the rest of the bracket, even going back to the first round, you got Oregon. They played one game in it last year. James Madison, obviously not. Alabama and Oklahoma weren't in it last year. Now, Alabama has the history, but that was with a very different coaching staff. Tulane, Ole Miss, they weren't involved. Miami, as you said, not involved. Texas A&M. So of that first round, not many teams involved. And then obviously Ohio State and Georgia have both been there. Indiana played a first round game. And Texas Tech, this is their first time. So, you know, without Notre Dame, without Texas, without Penn State, like you don't have teams that really made deep runs other than Ohio State. And I do think that helps because they know what it takes to go on and advance each round and kind of how that preparation has to work. And, you know, we're talking Matt Patricia earlier. I know it's a little different, but he's a guy who knows a thing or two about advancing in one-off playoff games, right? So I think even someone like that can be helpful.
Anything you're really kind of keeping your eye on as we go? Like we've discussed the right guard situation. We might not get actual concrete answer to that until we see who the offense is walking out on the field next Wednesday. You know, the Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate injury seem to be healthy, seem ready to go. And I just got this like quiet calmness that I like, that I feel good about with this team over the next week plus as they get ready to go. But is there anything you're kind of keeping your eye on as we gear up for the game?
I agree with you. I think it feels more like what it was week to week for Ohio State for much of this season. And, you know, it's not to take a shot at Miami at all. But every week it was just kind of, hey, you know, if Ohio State goes out, handles its business, you know, they're going to almost certainly take care of that opponent. And then you got to Michigan week and you had the injuries with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. And there was a lot of questions around that. And obviously everything that surrounds that game. Then you go to the Big Ten championship game and you have signing day and you have Brian Hartline. And so it was just two real chaotic weeks leading up to those games. And I feel like this is just going to be much more settled and has been thus far, as you're saying. I think, you know, the Brian Hartline thing is going to continue to be a topic of conversation. I think Ryan Day did a good job of sort of putting it to bed a little bit with his, you know, saying he's going to handle play calling duties. But there's still going to be questions. You know, Brian Hartline will be available. There's a full team, full staff media day that we get down in Texas. So it'll be interesting to hear Brian Hartline and kind of how he's feeling about everything. And then I think, you know, there is the sort of underlying narrative of a lot of these guys being South Florida guys. You know, Jeremiah Smith, Kenyatta Jackson, Brandon Innes, Carnell Tate played at IMG down there. Just, you know, Jeremiah Smith talked about it. Like, he knows he's got to keep emotions in check going against guys that he grew up playing against or playing with. So just, you know, sort of underlying narratives, but nothing crazy. Like, and like you said, I think that's a positive thing as you head into, you know, arguably the biggest game of the year.
I'm kind of weird about this, but I was looking like tickets too, just to see. Oh, yeah. Like Ohio State travels so well. Get in down there for $100. They got seats for $100 and even mid-level for a couple hundred. And I understand it's the holidays and it's Dallas. It's not like it's a, you know, quick flip. Not that any of the bowl games are super close to Columbus or anything like that. But I expect it to be a lot of Ohio State fans down there. I know the travel is something that even the fans are prepared and ready to do, you know, something that they're used to doing following Ohio State through the playoffs now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how Miami fans travel. You know, that's not a fan base that is thought of as being like Ohio State or even like what Texas A&M would have been. Obviously, that's a much shorter trip. You know, what does it look like on game day when you know, the stadium fills up? And, you know, what's the split? Last time Ohio State played there was against Texas, so it was definitely more Texas fans. I think this will be the opposite, but you know, again, Miami fans haven't done this. And I don't know how many made their way to Texas A&M or what the ticket allotment was like. You know, did they wait to sort of spend this money to go to a more neutral site game? Will be interesting to follow.
Certainly. And like you said, if Miami hasn't been there in a long time, you think everybody would be lining up to get a ticket and go, but we'll have to see. Everybody out there, have a fantastic holidays. Murph, Isaiah, to you, your families, guys, really appreciate you. Have a great holiday season. Murph and I are going to go enjoy some eggnog tonight, and we'll talk to everybody on the next time. Go Bucks! This has been the Buckeye Show here on The Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Do you hate